Public Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The Granite State has a new tourism logo aimed at enticing more visitors to come here. The new message plays off our longtime state motto, Live Free or Die, altering it to say, Live Free and... You fill in the blank with your favorite activity, whether it's skiing or shopping or sailing. The new slogan was unveiled a week ago by Governor Lynch, state tourism and economic development officials, including our guest today, Department of Resources and Economic Development Commissioner George Bald. It comes after extensive research showing New Hampshire had an image problem with the outside world. While people surveyed nationally connected Maine with lobster and Vermont with cows, they had no clear idea of what New Hampshire was all about. Whether this new open-ended slogan helps bring that clarity or not remains to be seen. This hour, we'll talk about that with Commissioner Bald, also about the status of our state parks and a Senate bill aimed at easing their perpetual funding struggles. And we'll examine his department's efforts to attract and retain new businesses in New Hampshire. Today in The Exchange, Commissioner Bald is in studio. Let's hear from you. First off, what do you think of this new state slogan? How else could New Hampshire attract tourists? And as we look at the other aspects of economic development that the commissioner works on, what do you think the state should do to improve the business and employment climate here? Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. And Commissioner Bald, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, let's start off with that slogan first, since it just came out a week ago. How much of a difference does a slogan make, Commissioner Bald, in terms of where people decide to spend their vacation dollars?
Well, I think the idea is to reinforce what a brand is. And the brand for a state is kind of like its personality. What do people think when they think of that state? And our hope and a lot of research was done to come up with this idea of live free. And again, if we were doing a trying to encourage people to come hiking, that we would have a picture of somebody on a trail on a mountain, and it would say live free and hike. Or if somebody was relaxing, we wanted to promote the opportunities that have somebody in a hot tub or at a spa at one of our hotels. And, you know, it could say live free and relax. A lot of our partners are very excited about it because Ski New Hampshire sees the great opportunities of live free and ski. And what it did is the work that was done, people recognize that they want to enjoy themselves when they go on vacation. They want to have kind of that freedom. So the live free and fill in the blank really resonated tremendously with people who want to visit New Hampshire or have visited New Hampshire. And again, a lot of work was done on making sure that we're getting a good sense of our visitors. It doesn't do any good for me to give my idea. I'm here already.
You like it here.
I love it here. But it was very important to find out from people either that had visited or hadn't visited but might visit the state how they felt about it. And again, the live free end really worked out very well. And I think people will start to see it if you see some of our ads, you probably, you know, unless you're in Massachusetts or Connecticut or New York, you may not see the ads, but there's a lot of excitement about it, and I think that people will see that it really will help to reinforce our brand. What we know is people like our parks, they like our mountains, they like the ability to shop, and while other states have kind of higher recognition for restaurants, we're helping to grow the brand, that this is also a good place. Culinary is quite a piece that encourages people to visit a state.
So is this a web-based thing, Commissioner Bald, where I say, okay, I like hiking, so I'm going to go live free and hike, and then, you know, on your website or wherever, you're going to list all these places I can hike? I mean, is it that interactive, or is it just a suggestion?
It'll be part of our promotion, but again, everything will refer back. Certainly our website will have a great deal of this information. And the idea, again, is to reinforce for people what they think about New Hampshire, or that we're going to, if it's live free and hike, that they, when they come up here, there'll be a lot of really good hiking. That, you know, one of the situations with brands is you can't fool people. You can't say, you know, we have the best gourmet restaurants in the world, and and then you don't have them. So it doesn't take long, or, you know, we have the best hiking. So the brand is really important. We need to protect the brand, and we need to reinforce, again, people saying, boy, when I go up there, I'm going to have a good time hiking. I'm going to have a good time skiing. You know, if we had somebody jumping in a lake, say, you know, live free and splash, or there's so many ways that we can use this. And again, I was really pleased at the amount of work and effort that our tourism department did with a number of partners who are very expert in that research, so that there's never a guarantee, but I think the work was done that you know, 4 or 5 years from now, it will resonate well with people.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And what do you think of this brand, Live Free and Fill in the Blank? Do you think it will entice more people to come to New Hampshire or not? Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. And this hour on the exchange, we're sitting down with Department of Resources and Economic Development Commissioner George Bald. You can join us, 1-800-892-6477. And Commissioner Bald, we have so much more to talk about than just the slogan, but I did want to ask you one or two more questions about it, if I could. As I mentioned, you know, lots of research showed that while outsiders knew Maine was lobsters and coast and Vermont was, you know, syrup and cows, they didn't really know about New Hampshire. How does an open-ended slogan like this help give people more clarity about what we're all about?
Because it isn't just that it'll be a slogan. It'll be incorporated in all of our advertising, and so people will see that. And the idea of live free really is a phrase that resonates well. The consumer perceptions surveys that were done, again, people, they resonate very well with that, that, yes, I want to be free to enjoy things. I want to be free to celebrate, to have a good time. I want to be free to discover, and I want to be free to hike or do. And we even have one that's live free and do business. So the hope there is that we're incorporating all the aspects of tourism as well with our economic development and our businesses. Travel and tourism is the second largest part of the state's economy. And business obviously is very important, but I argue we wouldn't have the good businesses we have if we didn't have a strong tourism base as well. Companies locate here, they like being here because their employees have good opportunities for recreation, and tourism also brings a lot of people here that helps our economy tremendously.
Well, what sort of feedback have you gotten so far, Commissioner, on this? I mean, again, it's just been a week, but from the public or from tourism businesses and organizations, what do they think about Live Free And?
When it was released at the Governor's Conference on Tourism, there was a great applause. Again, people in the industry see how they can use it. You know, if it's a camping organization, they just say, oh, boy, I can see how this will work, Live Free and camp. So there's a tremendous enthusiasm. We'll continue to work on rolling it out. That certainly, I think some citizens may say, as you have pointed out, live free and what? How does that work? But I think once they see the ad, it's not like our ads will say live free and there won't be anything there. There will be, you know, a plug again, live free and race, live free and unplug. There's so many ways that you can use it. And I think that's the beauty, that it reinforces that live free aspect, and it reinforces the broad amount of things that you can do when you're visiting our state.
Well, the Union Leaders editorial page called it a fine bit of sloganeering, said it captures the New Hampshire spirit and ought to prove a real draw for out-of-state travelers. So we'll see.
Certainly hope so.
Let's take a call if we could. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. And Commissioner Ball, let's go first to Keene, where Steve is on the air. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think it's a great campaign that the state's doing. One of the things that kind of gets me is last year the state closed up a couple of rest areas that, you know, you would think weren't used that much, but in fact my wife had worked at one in Antrim. And it was just a great place. I couldn't believe how many people actually stopped there, but they could go in, get a cold drink of water. She really took pride keeping this place up. And, you know, they could use the restroom facilities, get brochures on things to do around the state. you know, it was just a real good thing. And now you drive by, the one she was at was in Antrim. I know there was another one on the other side of the state that closed up as well. And you drive by these buildings now, and it's just sad. It just looks like a deserted building. The buildings still sit there, and it just seemed like a minor expense, you know, for a state that touts tourism.
Yeah. Steve, thank you for calling. Yes, I do know what you mean. In fact, I do know the rest stop, Steve, because I travel to Keene frequently to see my family. And it's a little disconcerting to see that shuttered rest stop. It's not a very welcoming image, Commissioner Bald, I got to say.
You're absolutely right, and it's something that I can't disagree with. It unfortunately, you know, we've gone through kind of a very tough budgetary cycle. The amount of money appropriated for rest areas was literally cut in half. And so there's a number of things that we've tried to do to create partnerships with organizations to keep some of them open. Some of them we've had to close through the winter and hope to reopen in June. It is, you know, my hope is that the economy is going to continue to improve, that we'll be able to get more resources and open them back up, because Steve's absolutely right. It is a welcoming opportunity. And so, you know, you know, 20 years from now, that people may not use welcome centers because everything may be electronic, or there's so many other ways that you can do it. But for now, we really need to have them. And our hope is that we can be in a position to open them back up.
Well, and you still need, even if you have every electronic device in the world, you still need to get out and stretch your legs and let the dog walk around or whatever. So
exactly. And again, sometimes people may not be aware of something and they walk in. And as he pointed out, you know, somebody, they start a conversation and say, well, you know, we're looking for a good place to eat, or,
right,
you know, we'd like to have, you know, stay at a hotel, or what's to do around here. And it's easy to pass out information and kind of, even if it's on the spot, it really helps.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you very much for calling in. Our number here on The Exchange for you to join Commissioner Bald as we talk about tourism development. Later on, we'll turn our focus to other aspects of economic development. You can join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back.
More coming up on The Exchange in just a few here on NHPR. Then at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, the growing Secret Service prostitution scandal raises questions about national security and oversight in the agency, understanding the culture of the Secret Service. That's coming up on The Diane Rehm Show at 10 here on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, from the NEEF Network Organizations, a statewide leader assisting students and parents planning for college, information at nhheaf.org, and from the Fenton Family Dealerships in Keene, Toyota, Volvo, Honda, Subaru, and Hyundai, treating the needs of each individual customer with singular concern, online at fentondealerships.com. And from the Woodstock, Vermont Area Chamber of Commerce, seeking artists to participate in their annual art festival September 8th and 9th on the Green. Information online at woodstockvt.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today we're catching up with New Hampshire Department of Resources and Economic Development Commissioner George Bald. We've talked about the new tourism slogan, Live Free and... You fill in the blank. What do you think of that? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Also, what other efforts might the state undertake to boost tourism development? Later on, we'll turn to another part of Commissioner Bald's portfolio, that is attracting and retaining new businesses. What more do you think the state could do on that end? What policies or approaches might help boost economic development here in New Hampshire? Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can email us as well, the address, exchange@nhpr.org. And Commissioner Bald, since we're talking about tourism, let's just continue on that theme for a little bit, if we could. Since the summer tourism season is soon going to be here, I wanted to ask you about the state parks. And I think it was back in 2009 or 2010, you and I sat down and talked about a 10-year strategic plan to better fund, better manage the state parks. Your department got into some hot water with the public because a draft plan ranked the parks in terms of how well they were performing, indicated those ranked as underperforming could be leased or sold. And then you pulled the plug on that plan. We talked about it. Where are we at now, Commissioner Bald, in terms of, you know, making these state parks the best they can be?
Well, the plan was adopted, and I think it gives us excellent direction going forward in a number of areas, and some very good planning was done. There's a state parks advisory committee that has been very helpful to us in giving us good ideas on how we should proceed with the plan, and it's helping us with our budgeting. It's helping us with our capital request. And I think it really will give us a good, firm, solid foundation to make sure that our parks are in good shape. We're still the only state park system in the country that is self-funded, so a lot of our resources go to the operations of the park, and we're not getting any tax dollars. We do get some funding for capital from the state, and we're very appreciative of that. I think, though, it's helped us to look at, again, doing a better job of managing our parks, making sure that we've got the appropriate staff, and that also that we have a good system so that from year to year we're making the improvements. People, when they come to our park, they expect to enjoy themselves, but they also expect to have clean bathrooms. They expect to have good facilities, and they don't want to worry about anything. And we want them to have those good memories about coming to a park and enjoying themselves. We are... it's hard with some of our partners. We didn't charge them, but we are charging them now. We're trying to put ourselves, again, in a good financial position. There's the state park plate that somebody, when they register their car, can now get a plate that's has state parks on it. It allows them access into a number of our day-use facilities. But it's also a good way of donating to the park system.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that. How much is that?
I believe it's $85. Mm-hmm. I have one. I should know this. I have one on my vehicle. But it's a majority of that comes back to the park system to be used again throughout the system. Where one of the things just is we talked about the research that was done on the brand and tourism.
The new slogan, right?
Right. One of the consumer perception surveys rated our parks very high from people outside of the, which really made me feel good that that people look at New Hampshire parks in a very positive way. So, again, for our visitors and also for our citizens, we got to continue to do our best to make sure that they're run well, they look good, and people have a great time when they're there.
So you said that plan was approved. So what does that mean? Does that mean the parks are now ranked in terms of priority and some might be sold off, or what does that mean?
They're not. That piece was taken out of the plan completely. And again, it was just looked upon as, where will we be? What are some of the things we need to do at our parks? So the idea of ranking them and deciding whether we should divest ourselves of some of the parks, that piece was taken out completely, and we're not going in that direction. There are a lot of things that we are doing in our parks. Again, trying to Jericho State Park, where it really is geared towards ATV use. A number of our parks were putting camping cabins on. As people are getting a little older, staying in a tent isn't as exciting as it was before, but if they can go into a camping cabin, it's basically a cabin, but, you still use the central bath facilities. It's been very popular. Pawtuckaway was one of our first, and we're really excited about seeing that as a growth opportunity. And certainly the daily fee for a camping cabin is considerably more than a campsite, so that, I believe, will help us in the long term as well.
Interesting. So that's a government adaptation to an aging population.
That's right.
Our phone number here in the Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Join us as we talk to State Department of Resources and Economic Development Commissioner George Bald. We've been looking at, again, the travel and tourism piece of his department's portfolio. If you have questions or comments about the new tourism slogan, what else might be done to attract more tourists to New Hampshire, and comments about our state parks, you can join us 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. One more question about the state parks, Commissioner Bald. As you said, they're the only state park system in the country that is self-funded, no general government money, only only money from fees. There's a bill in the legislature aimed at making it easier to raise private and corporate funds for the parks. SB 237 passed the Senate, now in the House. How might this make private donations easier?
Well, certainly we do have people that make donations now, but, you know, if any time that we can have partnerships and find ways that we can work with the private sector to help us to do a better job, that's a good thing. And if we – while we have to run like a business, we also recognize that we want to be a park system that allows a lot of people in. And so it's not like we could say, well, let's just – we'll double the rates, so we'll make considerably more money, and even if we lose some of our people, we don't want to be in that position. We want to make sure that we have to set rates at a rate where we can be end the year in a surplus, but we also recognize that we want to find other ways to raise funds because we want our citizens to be able to enjoy it. If, you know, a family has three or four children, you know, it can get pretty expensive on a day-use park. So having partnerships and being able to work with individuals or corporations to help us to finance, I think, is a very good thing.
So how does this make it easier? Because, as I understand, people can donate now. Companies can donate now. So how does this
– You know what? I honestly don't know all of the kind of the wording of,
sure,
of that legislation, and we've offered our support just in knowing that we're in a position that anything that would make it easier would be helpful to us.
You know, here in Concord, the Recreation Department faced similar troubles. You know, they wanted to keep up the city parks and pools, especially in the summertime. But money is a problem locally as well as it is at the state level. So they now have not very large, but, you know, decent-sized banners on some of the pools that say thanks to our sponsors and, you know, I don't want to name any of them because I can't remember
right.
the names, but it's not like White Park Pool has been renamed, you know, the BAE Systems Pool.
Right.
But there is a sign recognizing the contributions of these folks. So is that sort of along the lines of what might be reasonable?
It certainly is a possibility in the future. You know, we have a partnership with EMS. EMS has been wonderful for us because they've, you know, in a lot of their stores, they encourage people to hike in our and use our parks. So I think that you'll see there'll be a continuation of that. I don't think we'll be in a position of renaming a park, you know, for a corporation, but certainly having partnerships that help us to do a better job. You know, we may have corporations that may want to give us the amount of money for a couple of camping cabins, and we could have some, you know, small plaque recognizing that. But I think we're running a state park system like a business, but making sure that we're running it as a facility for all of the citizens is kind of like having a foot in a canoe and a foot on the dock. You know, we want to be careful because we want to, again, for the reason I mentioned, we want to run a system that's good and not have to raise the rates too much. But we can't run it exactly like the private sector would because it is government and it's funded by all of the citizens. So I think that we're always, you know, checking ourselves and saying, you know, are we going far enough? Are we going too far? And again, the State Parks Advisory Committee has been very helpful that way of saying, well, you want to be careful about going too far here.
Well, and speaking of the rest areas that have been closed down, which one of our callers mentioned, I'm wondering why, you know, some well-known coffee chain, for example, isn't doing a partnership with you on these rest areas and saying, hey, we'll open them up and run them, but can we also sell our coffee or whatever?
There are...
I don't want to name names, but
no,
I think you know who I'm talking
right.
about.
Right, and not to spend an hour explaining, but there are complications depending on whether the visitor center is on an interstate system, on the turnpike system, or on a state road, and there are rules and regulations on all of that. But I guess we are certainly looking at, are there ways that we can have partnerships with the private sector that we're not breaking any rules or any laws, But we still do exactly what you just suggested.
Let's take some more calls, Commissioner Bald. Again, our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. What might Commissioner Bald's Department of Resources and Economic Development do, in your opinion, to boost tourism development, to boost overall economic development here in the Granite State? Ongoing efforts to attract and retain new businesses are underway, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But give us your thoughts on that, too. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Commissioner Bald, let's take Elizabeth in Hampton. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a suggestion for the slogan for New Hampshire, and I thought, live free and enjoy, because we want people to come here and enjoy New Hampshire. I love living here, and I just thought that would be a positive approach to it.
So a little more focused than fill in the blank, but still an open-ended idea, depending on how you get your enjoyment, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
What do you think, Commissioner?
The lakes or the mountains or the ocean or...
Whatever. I think, Elizabeth, it's a wonderful suggestion. And again, we would never leave it blank. If in any of our advertising, it would say, you know, live free and hike or live free and fish. But I certainly will talk to our tourism people and make sure that we look at having a live free and enjoy. And we could probably have a picture of the new seashell at Hampton and recognize that people going to the beach there could enjoy that tremendously.
Right. So put that on the list. Thank you, Elizabeth, for the call. Here's an email from Mary. She says, the slogan is too broad and vague. Maine has picked a good one, vacation land, short and simple. Mary says, why not have a contest and test market the best slogans to pick the winner? Did you do that, Commissioner Bald?
We didn't. Again, we spent a tremendous amount of time with looking at what our visitors did, the consumer perception survey. You know, they try to really get at what are the emotional drivers of people and why they want to come here. And it's, you know, the idea of having, I know there are some states that have offered to have kind of the public weigh in on it. But one of the important things to remember is we are trying to attract people from outside of the state. So what we like or what the drivers for us may not be exactly the same as drivers for somebody that wants to visit here and vacation here. I'm confident that this is really a good brand. It will help us to put together a good campaign. And I think over the next 6 months to a year, the more that you see it, the more that people will recognize that it will make a difference for our visitors.
Well, Mary, thanks for that email. And you can email us, too, at exchange@nhpr.org or call 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Commissioner Bald, we've been talking about attracting tourists through the slogan and through the state parks, but let's turn to attracting new businesses to the state. And I want to ask you first broadly about business climate. There's always rankings of this done by various organizations or magazines about which state has the business climate, and these are always debatable. But in the latest Forbes magazine business climate survey, New Hampshire ranks 27th. Not very impressive. What do you think?
I think, you know, if something is really good for the state, I'll use it. But I would say that even the things that rank us high in some situation – you don't know all of the detail that they went into. And I would argue that it's a whole package, that you can't take five items and say, you know, a state does well or doesn't do well. There are a lot of companies that do well here. There are certainly some things that I'm sure we could improve on, and we're always looking to work closely with our existing companies and say, how can we do a better job? What are the areas that we can do a better job? But if you push something out one way, something else comes in the other way. So there.
What do you mean by that?
If you know what happens sometimes is somebody will say, "Gee, you know, South Carolina offers tremendous incentives, you know, and why don't we do the same thing?" Well, I don't think the state of New Hampshire is in a position to offer $200 million to Boeing to come and locate here, and to do so, we would need to increase our taxes. And so it isn't one thing that you can move, because if you do that, then there would be some other effect. And what I know some of these states, what they do is they figure, well, if they're going to hire 500 people that will we'll get, we have a 5% income tax, so we can figure out, you know, roughly.
We'll reap that money.
Right. Well, we don't have that. So what we're looking at is something different, and our hope is to work very closely with our existing businesses and at the same time try to attract new businesses. But I would like to just reinforce that we work very closely with our businesses that are currently here because there's a lot of growth that occurs. I think you've seen recently where Watts, a company in Franklin, is moving one of their segments from China back to the U.S.
And they're that's actually real interesting. I don't mean to interrupt you there, but that's not a story you hear. You always hear about businesses moving their operations to China. Here's somebody coming back from China to New Hampshire.
Right. And I think that it is a reflection that manufacturing continues to get far more efficient. And, you know, it really requires a lot of brain power, and people are doing much better at manufacturing. And Watts is a wonderful company. It's been in our state for a long time. And I think it's important to see that taking good care of our existing companies where a lot of growth comes. It doesn't always get a lot of attention. Whalen Engineering in Charlestown, New Hampshire, is adding 100 employees, and they're adding a 100,000-square-foot addition. Watts, as we mentioned, is going to be adding about another 100 people. Sig Sauer in Exeter recently announced acquisition of a large building at Pease, 200,000 square feet. They're going to be keeping their Exeter operation, hiring another 30 people. Foss Manufacturing in Hampton, another 45 people. So it's very important that you try to attract new business, but never forget that a lot of growth occurs from the businesses that are already in your state.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add very quickly, we're also blessed with Albany International, which is already here in Rochester, but they announced, in December that they're going to be building a 350,000-square-foot building that will employ, over the next 5 years, over 400 people. They're going to have 600 people just to construct the building. So, again, while that's a brand-new business, it really is because Albany is already located in the state. They like the state. They're happy with what's going on here, that it helped us to be able to attract that partnership with a French company called Safran.
Well, and coming up, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about those expansions in the manufacturing sector, whether those companies can find the skilled workers that they need. We did a show about 2 weeks ago on the skills gap, so I'll ask you about that, Commissioner Bald, as well. We'll take your calls, too, so stay on the line, 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
Many of the projects we undertake at NHPR require the outlay of significant resources, and our leadership circle plays an invaluable part in providing those resources. Circle members lead by example and help to sustain the quality of the local programming that pulls New Hampshire together. We're inviting you to become an integral part of a New Hampshire institution and join the growing group of listeners that make up our leadership circle. Visit nhpr.org for more information.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, from Southern New Hampshire Medical Center and Foundation Medical Partners, working together to design health care around you, where you live and work, snhhs.org. And from the New Hampshire Community Loan Fund, celebrating the first 100 resident-owned manufactured housing communities in New Hampshire, communityloanfund.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, we'll join the debate between town meeting towns and SB2 towns. Email us your thoughts. What kind of government does your town have, and how is it working for you? Email us at exchange@nhpr.org before the program, and then join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today, we're sitting down with Department of Resources and Economic Development Commissioner George Bald. You can join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Commissioner Bald, a bunch of calls and emails that I want to share with you. But real quickly, last week we talked about the skills gap here on The Exchange, and our two business guests said it's a huge problem for the state's manufacturing sector. They've got hundreds of good-paying jobs, not the right candidates to fill them. What's your take on the skills gap?
I'm glad you did a show on that. It is a serious problem. When we have, you know, kind of a focus on jobs, but we have companies that are telling us that they can't find the employees, it concerns me greatly. You know, a good machinist today is earning $70,000-$80,000 a year. It's not a lousy job. The machine shop of today is, you know, the floors are cleaner than my office. It really is a wonderful environment. It requires a lot of skills, and so I think that there needs to be an effort on the part of the state, on part of education institutions, and on part of a lot of businesses. It's not just manufacturing, but that's where a lot of problems are. But it's also engineering, IT, all of those skills that our companies need as they continue to grow. And there are so many issues of having a company do business in the state that we try to focus on. But this is the one, to me, it's so important because, as we discussed, the state of New Hampshire isn't a state that has a lot of big incentive programs. But what we do have is that people recognize there's generally a good workforce available here. And so we want to make sure that we're continuing to do that, that we're continuing to have good training programs, and that there's a good kind of three-way relationship between government, education institutions, and business.
Okay, well, is it fair to ask the education institutions to fill this skills gap when community college system budget has been cut by 20%, higher education by almost 50%?
I think it's important for them to play a role, that it's not solely their responsibility. And certainly if asked, and I've told many legislators that I think that when they ask me about the ability to attract business, I always talk about the fact that what are some of the, you know, what do businesses talk about? When Albany International decided to locate here, they talked about the relationship with the University of New Hampshire and the relationship with Great Bay Community College and how crucial that was. So I think that it is, my hope is that when the economy improves again, as it is now, that in the next session of the through the budget process, that there will be additional resources for the college system.
Let's take some more calls. And our number again, 1-800-892-6477. Christopher is joining us from Laconia. Hi, Christopher. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Great show today. Commissioner, I do have a comment, and then I'll take your reply offline. One of the things that I'm just not hearing enough of, and again, this goes to the manufacturing sector as well as the tourism, is our energy costs. I heard you talk about the southern states and how they offer tax incentives, but if we really do our homework, you will see that the southern states also had an energy initiative to drive down the energy costs. Because those tax benefits, they only last so long. And that was one of the main reasons why many of our textiles have moved towards the southern states, is because of the energy costs.
Yeah, that's a great point, Christopher.
I truly believe we need to have a Manhattan Project here of some sort to drive those energy costs down, maintain our relationship with our current manufacturers and businesses, and have a long-term energy program. And I just don't see that happening with 90% of everything we generate goes out of the state.
Okay.
I think it's critical that that be a focus.
Christopher, thanks for the call. It's a point you hear from businesses all the time. Healthcare costs and energy costs.
And Christopher raises a very important issue. You know, sometimes it depends on the company. There are some companies where energy costs are, you know, 10% of their cost, so it's not as significant. There are other manufacturers where energy costs could be, you know, 50 or 60%. So it is important. As I mentioned earlier, there are so many issues why our ability to attract businesses is enhanced. And so we try to do our best to improve those things that where we're a little weak and keep those things that we're strong. And certainly energy costs are an area that we would want to see more effort made to continue to lower the cost, because anytime we can lower the cost to our citizens and our businesses, that it it's more dollars that can go into other areas.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Christopher. And here's an email from Nancy in Concord. She says, what makes New Hampshire so attractive to foreign corporations? BAE, Hannaford Brothers, Stonyfield Yogurt, Goss International, for example, are all owned by foreign corporations. Nancy says, is there something in the business profits tax law that makes New Hampshire so attractive to foreign corporations?
I think that there, I would say that the answer is probably no. It's not the business profits tax, that they are good companies, that they have good products or good services. But there are, it is interesting, there are a lot of European companies that find investing in the U.S. Again, with the good companies, really makes a difference for them. And so I think I would just say that it's a overall good state to do business. And so companies want to acquire those businesses, and hopefully that they recognize that working with the state, that we'll pay close attention to them.
Nancy, thanks for the email. And again, our email address is exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Your questions or comments about economic development here in the Granite State with George Bald, Commissioner of the Department of Resources and Economic Development for New Hampshire. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You know, one more question following up on Nancy's point about international businesses. One office within your department, Commissioner Bald, has long been credited with helping New Hampshire businesses expand their markets overseas, the International Trade Resource Center. How has that office fared lately, given the overall budget tightening that the state's been going through, and given that its longtime and much admired director, Don Wivel, left after 21 years?
Well, we certainly have taken some pretty severe cuts through the budget process, but I see kind of a rebuilding of that. We've gotten a federal grant to do some additional work. Tina Chasm is our new director, a bright young woman, a lot of good experience, and I see really good things happening with her efforts there. It is crucial. Exporting, you know, kind of bounces up and down depending on, you know, whether the euro is strong, the euro is weak, how the U.S. dollar, but it is an area where companies that export generally do better because it gives them additional markets, and it's important for us to help. We don't need to help, you know, GE or BAE. They have the experiences, but it's the small, mid-sized companies that we can shine. We can help them a great deal in issues of exporting and how they do letters of credit and a whole host of things.
And for a small business, that's intimidating.
It is intimidating.
And they've got enough going on.
Right. And they, you know, they want to make sure they're going to get paid. And so we can help them tremendously to do that. And there are many instances of New Hampshire companies hadn't thought of exporting, decided to get involved through our Office of International Trade, and really have just, you know, they shine. They have done very well. They continue to find new markets. And so it is a piece of economic development that is a crucial piece. And hopefully we're in a position of building it back up.
It's still there, though.
It is.
The office has not gone away.
We've gone from, you know, approximately 8 people to 2. So it is. They're certainly not doing the things that they were doing in the past, but I'm still convinced that we're getting back on track.
Here's an email from Walter, which I think is just one sentence, but I think it's in response to my question to the audience, which is, what could the state do to promote economic development and employment here in New Hampshire? Walter says, you can support passenger rail service to New Hampshire. We talked about this week on The Exchange. Lots of businesses in Nashua and Manchester want this.
And, you know, I think there's, to me, there's always the transportation is a crucial piece for business, for the state, for our citizens, and all methods of transportation, I think, are important to get people to goods and services and people to go where they want to go, and for businesses, again, to be able to bring people in to work for them or to get their goods and services out. And so I think he's right. The issue is when you have a certain amount of resources, how are they divvied up? And if the pie is shrinking, it's harder to give bigger pieces to different areas.
So does your agency have any role in this beyond you saying generally it's a good idea?
We work with very closely with DOT. Again, you know, our transportation system is crucial to our companies, and so we work very closely with them. But specifically on the issue of rail, is it's not something that we get tremendously involved with.
If you could just, you know, if resources were no issue for you, Commissioner, all of a sudden a pot of money comes out of the sky and it's just for you and your agency, what would you do with it? What's the one big investment that you would make to really boost economic development here in New Hampshire? Again, recognizing that we're already doing pretty well.
You know, I'm tempted to say I would give my employees a raise because they haven't had a raise in 3 years. And I am fortunate. I work with some of the most talented people in state government. But, you know, they would continue to do that, raise or no raise. I think, again, the issue we've talked about before is education is so important. It just makes such a difference. And it isn't just, you know, somebody might say, well, you just want to benefit companies, but it's such a benefit for a person to get those skills. It just, you know, if we have somebody that learns machine shop technology and goes to work in a company as a machinist, you know, it allows them the opportunity to earn a good living, to be able to put their kids in college, but it also allows them so many opportunities that if they say, well, you know, this isn't enough, I want to be an engineer, or there are so many ways you can go. To me, education is such an important part of our economy and helps to drive a good economy. So if I got that pot of money, I would share it with the community college, the university system. And, you know, one of our programs we do have is the job training program in my agency. And it's very popular, and companies have done remarkable things in training their employees and bringing up their skills.
You know, when we did the Skills Gap show, Commissioner Bald, a number of parents called up and said, I don't want to send my kid to a specific community college training program. I want him or her to have a broad four-year degree, because their impression was that these manufacturing companies, you know, open and close their doors and the workers are just sort of left with nothing or very specific skills that cannot be applied to other jobs. That was the fear that parents had when they called in.
You know, we're always going to go through business cycles. And 10 years from now, all of the companies that are here currently, not all of them are going to be here in 10 years from now. Those things just occur naturally, if you will, as we go through business cycles. But, you know, you can mention a number of manufacturers that have left the state. I can mention a number that are still here. I mentioned Whalen Engineering, and they're, you know, they have over 600 employees in Charlestown, New Hampshire. And you go on that floor, and it's just remarkable, well-lit, spotless. I mean, most people would love to work in that opportunity. So I think it's you know, the it's not your father's Buick. It is not your father's factory that's dirty and dingy. It requires a lot of brain power. It requires a lot of skills. And it's a much, much improved working conditions. And I think if some parents went and saw what's going on in some of these factories, they would be surprised. And again, you know, you could have a software company that the same thing happens, that they relocate someplace else. So it's not geared just to manufacturing that you'll have those ups and downs.
Although there was a news item this morning read on NHPR and other stations about 150 people laid off in Manchester at R.R. Donnelly printing plant on Brown Avenue. 150 people out of work. The labor commissioner is involved in this. Does your department get involved in this, or is this more the labor?
We do indeed. We work closely on a rapid response program where we'll assemble a team of people to meet with all of the employees, explain to them those programs that they can make available to themselves. We work closely with employment security, labor, a number of other organizations. You know, I don't know the specifics of that company, but again, you get situations where you're always going to have a certain amount of churn, that just as you go into business cycles, even, you know, you think in the late 90s, New Hampshire's economy was just spectacular. We had 2.5% unemployment, and some companies were closing. you know, we've gone through some of, you know, the worst times ever, and we had some companies that were expanding. So you're always, you know, going through those business cycles. You want to pay attention to find out, and I think I want to make sure that we'll see if there's anything that the state could have done, or sometimes it's just the nature of the business that, you know, certain things aren't printed like they used to be printed.
People can print things themselves now just using their own desktops or laptops or whatever.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about, all of the financial information that people used to get in the mail, now it's all online.
I want to end by talking about the slogan again and respond to an email from Deb. And Deb, I hope you're still listening because I think I want to clear something up for her. Deb says, I was disgusted this morning to hear that state officials were considering changing New Hampshire's state motto, live free or die, to live free and ? Deb says, live free or die is an authentic, powerful, memorable, carries the authority of 300 years of American history. Live free or die, death is not the worst of evil, was spoken by New Hampshire's most famous war hero, General John Stark, as a toast at a 50-year reunion of Revolutionary soldiers. Clear this up for Deb. We're not changing the license plate or anything like that.
I am delighted she asked that question because, you know, it is – live free or die is the state slogan. The live free and campaign is really just that. It's a campaign to get people to think of New Hampshire in a very positive way, and so that's why it's going to be there. But absolutely, we're not taking live free or die away. It's going to continue to be the state's slogan. And again, it's important to remember that the live free and campaign is not a slogan. It's developing our brand. It's making people always associate the state with enjoying yourself, living free, and then doing all of the other things that that you can do.
Well, Deb, thanks a lot for that email. And Commissioner Ball, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Craig Martin. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our intern is Ryan Lessard, with help today from our junior producer, Isaiah Wynette. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.